calling the meeting to order at 7:05. Mike Spence will do the invocation, and Jessica Shoemaker will do the flag salute.
Our kind of gracious Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we can gather as the West Covina Unified School District Board of Trustees, and we're grateful for the opportunity we have to serve, and we're grateful for the parents of this district and for our staffs and for those children, and especially at this end of the school year, we give thanks for the year that we've had. And Father, we ask a blessing on us that we'd make good, sound decisions on behalf of the kids of this district, and this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Here.
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 Here. Here. The next item on our agenda was the Edgewood Middle School pentathlon team. They are stuck in traffic, and so we're going, as soon as they come in, we'll honor them. So we'll move on to actions taken in closed session, and there was nothing to report out. Is there anything that a board member would like to share? Nothing. I have no blue cards in front of me. Was there anybody who wished to address the board at this time? Seeing no one, we will move on to the approval of the agenda and consent calendar. Is there anything anyone would like to take off of consent? Add to consent?
13.
If there's no objection, we will be adding 13 to the consent calendar. Is there a motion?
I'll move.
A second?
I'll second.
It was moved to approve by George Fuller and seconded by Steve Cox to approve the agenda and consent items as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That moves us on to agenda item number 3, the information report, self-presentation of the administrative unit and transfer and CAVA allocation.
Okay, it's my pleasure to introduce to you the director of the SELPA. Many of you who are not familiar with her will get to know her tonight. This is the director of the SELPA, whose name has now escaped me. I can't believe that. Sarah Jockum. We've asked Sarah to join us. You've had several questions about the comments that I've made at the board table regarding, as you remember, the last agreement. We extended it because the superintendent's council was reviewing whether we wanted to leave the county as an administrative unit, and we extended the other agreement that we had for a year while we were looking into the possibilities of doing this. So Sarah tonight is going to give you some background as to the process and information regarding the SELPA so that you're up to date on what's happening there. And in addition to that, you will recall we also had a conversation about our charter school CAVA, and she'll also give us an update on that. So thank you, Sarah, for being here.
Good evening. I thought I'd start with the CAVA information for you, and that's not on your handout because it's been kind of changing moment by moment. But just to give you a little background on that, throughout this year, since I came on board as the SELPA director in August of 2008, I've been working with the superintendent and Ruben and his office in terms of looking at how the SELPA allocation model has affected CAVA and their student enrollment numbers and the amount of funding that has been made available to West Covina based on their student enrollment numbers. So we kind of had several meetings back and forth, looked at lots of data and information, and made a recommendation to the Superintendent's Council to kind of amend for how that allocation plan had been previously set up. and the Superintendent's Council agreed and voted to provide $1.459 million to West Covina in terms of from, I think it was 5, 6, 6, 7, and 7, 8 in terms of looking at that allocation. And there was a couple of caveats to their agreement, and one of them was that there would be a written verification from CAVA that they would remain either as a member within West Covina or at least a member for special ed with East San Gabriel Valley SELPA through the remainder of your contract. And I know that the superintendent worked with them to kind of get to solidify that agreement. So we just need that in writing to, again, present to the superintendent's council. And then the second part was that the superintendents were, in terms of looking at this amount of funding, we're waiting to see where money would come from to pay this off. And so they were looking for the ARRA money, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act money from the federal government. And since that money has come through as well for us for special education and IDEA funding, we are ready to move forward with the payment. And Jack Lucas is the former SELPA director. Some of you may know him. And he has continued on as a fiscal consultant. And he and I and Ruben and his office have met in terms of trying to find the best way to proceed with this payment. So right now the plan is beginning in July of 2009. You will see it, the CAVA payment, as an additional payment to the your state aid, your state entitlement money. So you'll see the regular state entitlement, and then you'll see on top of that a CAVA payment. And we're looking to see if it's going to be split between 2 months or 3 months of payment. But we're looking at starting that in July, but it kind of depends on whether or not the state defers the July payment or not. If they defer it, then it would start in August. Okay. So the other part, I've given you a couple of handouts in terms of looking at the administrative unit transfer. And again, just to give you a little bit of background, the county office has been the administrative unit for the SELPA since 1981. And the purpose of the SELPA, kind of the role of why the SELPA exists itself, is to provide quality educational programs in a cost-effective manner. So that means that we constantly have to be looking at, you know, are we doing the best services for kids, but are we also getting the best bang for our buck? And throughout this year, there have been some questions raised about what amount of money has been paid to the administrative unit and what support we've been getting from them. So what I've given you on there is just really what the law says, the education code says, that the administrative unit is responsible for. And they basically get the state and federal money, and they allocate it out to the member districts or to charter schools based on the allocation plan that's set forth by the SELPA. And they also are responsible to do all of our financial reporting and on behalf of the SELPA, and then they also employ the SELPA office staff. So that's kind of the role of the AU. So throughout this year, we've been looking at different aspects of the administrative unit. Superintendent's Council have asked me to do some different things. And at the April 24th meeting, we considered the following information. And what I gave you in there is really just a brief glimpse at some of the financial information we looked at. And then I think behind it in the yellow is really a summary of the federal grants that we receive as a SELPA, what amount of money LACO has taken as an indirect charge on those grants. And then because Pomona is leaving the SELPA next year and forming their own SELPA, we wanted to find out what impact would it be fiscally when Pomona leaves. So the second column basically says without Pomona, they would have still taken, if you look at the subtotal, $601,000. So there's a large amount of money. There's also another $230,000 in indirect they've taken from our regionalized services budget. And we're anticipating that it's going to be similar for what they would charge us once we get through 8-9 and we close the books on 8-9. So the Superintendent's Council believes that a district will be able to run the administrative unit for approximately half the cost of what the county is able to do it for. And this is just kind of based on what their understanding is of what the job entails. So that kind of talks about there's also a direct charge for a financial operations consultant. The superintendents were concerned about, in terms of hiring and overseeing staff. Right now, the county office oversees the fiscal people, the data people, and they don't reside in East San Gabriel Valley, South, but there's really not an interface between us, the two offices. Again, as the superintendent said, we have a local agreement with LACO, which really talks about, spells out the fiscal pieces of the agreement that each district has with the county to give you money for special ed, and that agreement ends in July of 2010. It's a natural ending of that contract. And then finally, just we've had a discussion about LACO does two things for the SELPA. They provide the fiscal support, but LACO also provides the program for a lot of our significantly disabled kids, and they serve quite a number of students within the SELPA. These are two separate functions that LACO does for us, and one is not contingent on the other. They can be the AU without running programs, and they can run programs without being the administrative unit. So that was another conversation. So superintendents voted to change the administrative unit. The motion on the floor that day was to change it to Baldwin Park because people wanted to make sure there was at least a district interested in taking on the administrative unit. However, based on some subsequent conversations, we really want to open it up to any district that's interested in pursuing the AU and sit down with them and walk through that fiscal process so they know what they would be walking into and come up with a proposal for the Superintendent's Council to approve in the fall. So that's what this summer is going to be, is really looking at all of the ins and outs of the administrative unit job. So that's kind of, then we're going to work with the county office to make sure we're going to do a smooth transfer. I've already been in conversations with them. They are my employer, so it's a little bit of a delicate situation in terms of trying to work with both entities to have a common ground. And the next steps would be once the superintendents make a final approval of what AU they want, it's just basically notifications to the Department of Education and to the county office of how that's going to work. I know one of the questions that came up is really about the SELPA location or the SELPA offices. Right now we are in buildings. Our SELPA office is on Covina Valley land, and my understanding is that LACO built the building, but the SELPA put in $450,000 more or less towards the construction of that building. And it's been past practice for LACO when other agencies have left LACO that they either sell them the property for a dollar or they work out something. So that's what we would be in conversation with them about. And if they wouldn't be willing to do that, then we would look for them to reimburse us for that $450,000 that we've put into it. And then they would have to have a conversation with Covina Valley since they're using their land. So that's kind of where we would look for that. Our hope is to stay in the same building. It has a nice training facility and some nice conference rooms that are used throughout the SELPA. So that's kind of the quick in and out of the AU.
Can I just make some comments before questions?
Yes.
Just wanted to talk a little bit about my experience with processes of requesting information if people are interested in being the AU. I've had a difficult time trying to figure out what the exact budget is of the SELPA in order to decide, if we would even be interested. I mean, at this point, we're not saying we're interested, but one of the things that we're trying to figure out is which services go to which districts, how many students from each district are serviced. We're trying to figure out in an RFP process, my experience has been that you list all of the different things that you're going to be doing and the amount of money you're going to be managing and all of that, and then you put out the RFP process. So the day of the SELPA vote was the day that we had our Orangewood Library opening, And I had tried to get, you know, there so that we could change the vote, because one of the things that I wanted to put on the record was that I appreciate the power that the superintendent's council and the authority that it's delegated to them, but I felt very strongly that boards of education have to be involved in that decision for three reasons. One is that I think that SELPA Council of Superintendents has changed every year that I've sat on it. And I think in the future you're going to see at least three or four superintendents who were there voting for this who won't be there in the future. And so I don't think that this would be, and one of the reasons Sarah has accepted to be here tonight is because whether I'm in that place or not, as people who look out for the students of this district, you needed to have the information, and I thank her for being here. So my recommendation was, I called two of the superintendents, and I called Sarah, and I also had a few emails back and forth about I'm not comfortable voting to get out of LACO until I understand what we're getting into. And Sarah explained that, you know, she's looking at a process that was used in
Santa Clarita,
where you can give notice, a year's notice, and then if you had to go back, you could, I suppose, right?
Right. The education code requires the year and the day notice to transfer the administrative unit, but we would have up until like November to December to really make a final decision in terms of if we get into this process and we find out, wow, it's really not going to cost us any less, or we forgot about these pieces of it that we weren't thinking about. We can rescind that that request to change administrative units.
And since the agreement that we're operating under right now is a year's agreement, right, under the existing LACO agreement and the existing SELPA agreement, that would change. I'm trying to put that in a timeline as to what information we will have. Baldwin Park, Bonita, others who may be interested, I think, you know, we all need to understand, A, the timeline of that, and B, the information of who's going to take over, you know, whatever, information. So the bottom line is we would like to know, I would like to know, the timeline, and I would like for us to share with boards of education the information that will go out on a request for proposal.
And I appreciate that. In terms of one of the things I didn't mention is that as we're looking at doing this, we do need to, while the Superintendent's Council voted to approve this, the county voted against this change. And we need to, there's been some discussion with CDE about whether or not that change can go forward if there is a member that disagrees. And the kind of the prevailing answer I've gotten on that is that the Superintendent's Council, the Governance Council, can approve this change. But where it can fall apart is that this change requires a change in the local plan, which each local school board needs to approve. So if there is a superintendent who maybe hasn't brought this to their board and the board doesn't support it, it's going to fall apart. So we need to, when we go back to the June meeting with Superintendent's Council, I'm going to lay out that a little bit better so they understand that you may have approved it, but your boards need to also ultimately make the change to the local plan of the administrative unit. So
thank you for the clarification. Mike, you had a question?
My question actually go along with sort of what the superintendent was talking about, and that deals with this process on selection of the AU or the administrative unit, and that is because in the documentation you gave us, it says that you think that we can do, or it looks like we can do it for half the cost. And is that just from estimates from Baldwin Park or other districts that may be interested, or is that, how did we get that number that we can do half the cost?
That basically was from Jack Lucas in terms of the former SELPA director who really
right.
did all of the fiscal work for the SELPA and worked in conjunction with the county office. And then it's also been in conversations with Santa Clarita. They were the last LACO SELPA that kind of left LACO to go out
uh-huh.
on their own. So that was the last point of reference that both the Superintendent's Council and the county office, as we've been discussing this, said, go talk to Santa Clarita, find out what their experiences has been, and they will definitely say it was much more cost effective.
So the whole time that Jack Lucas was the director and we were using LACO as our administrative unit, we could have had saved half the amount of money if we had left them earlier?
I can't answer
that just seems...
Because I'm you as the director.
And now that he's the financial consultant. Anyway, okay, that seems a little strange to me. But so that comes from the past experience and then from what people...
Right. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Just in terms of, I do agree we need some hard numbers in terms of, I think that's been one of the concerns and issues raised is that, well, how much does it cost to actually do this? Or how much does this piece of the SELPA office, you know, charge or do? And I think that's the piece that I need to be working with LACO to get some hard numbers to be able to sit down with the interested districts to share with them.
And that's where, the whole issue of a proposal, selecting a proposal or an RFP is important to me because, you know, we can... if we have an RFP that has the guidelines in it rather than just somebody coming to us and saying, hey, I can do that, you know, I can do this, to me that gives me the hard assurance that we are going to save money should we pull the trigger on this. And, you know, I'm inclined to go ahead and pull the trigger on LACO. It's clear to me, at least to me, that they've been padding it. I don't want to use that word, I guess, but I did. But it seems that I need those hard numbers to be assured that if we pull the trigger for, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, that whoever the AU is, we know that we're going to save money through that whole process. And to me, that's only through an RFP process that, you know, that and we ask anybody who wants to apply to do it. You know, I mean, that I don't care if it's ballpark or not, but just that there's some competition involved in the RFP, and that the people doing that know that there might be competition. You know, when they're giving us the numbers on what they can do the administrative stuff for. I mean, to me, that's very important when I'm looking at it.
Jessica?
I'm sorry, my voice is going out. When will we know what the costs from LACO are? You mentioned that you still didn't have the hard numbers on what individual components cost, how LACO charges it. When will the superintendent's council know that, so the districts that are interested in possibly bidding have that information? Because we're talking about a November deadline to rescind our notice of withdrawal. This Board of Education for the summer meets less. We have budgetary concerns coming up. I mean, so we have full plates and we don't want to burden our staff with having to go up to the last minute or just having to really at the last second try and put together a proposal, decide whether or not they even want to put together a proposal.
I think that the way I understand it, and I can double check, is that we know what they've charged us. We know that they've charged us $973,000 in indirect charges.
You mentioned that you weren't sure necessarily, oh, well, we didn't consider this component or we didn't consider
I don't know, what I guess I was saying is the actual aspects of the AU job to say, I know you manage federal grants and I know you do this, so that means you do interim reporting and this, but I want to make sure that we have kind of the chapter and verse of what that job entails. You know, I know what they've done.
When will we know? Will we know what the job entails so districts can start preparing bids? When will we know what they need to have in a bid? You know, quite frankly, there are some districts around that are not necessarily financially stable at this point. And what could the ramifications be of that? If they're bidding to do this and have a problem in this area, will they be able to give the full attention needed to this area? I mean, what is going to be some of the requirements?
I think that's going to have to come from the Superintendent's Council on June 26th, mm-hmm. is to get that solidified from them in terms of what information do we actually need and want and where do we get it from. You know, in order, otherwise I'm kind of just going, okay, well, I think we want this and I think we want this, so I would like to get the direction from the superintendent's
council. None of this was discussed before there was a vote to give notice that we were withdrawing from LACO?
None of which part?
Of what would be required, what the job would entail. I noticed that it was voted to have Baldwin Park be the AU, but that has since, there's been discussion about changing that to let other districts bid. I'm a little bit concerned when I see that there was a vote to give it to Baldwin Park and then all of a sudden, oh, maybe we should let everybody have a chance. It seems like decisions are being made and then thought out afterwards. And so I want basically to know what the timeline is so we can protect ourselves as a district and have an AU that's stable going forward.
Sure. And you know, after June 26th, I think we'll be able to give you a much more firm timeline on what we're looking at for that.
George?
Yeah,
Mr. Fuller?
Just go, let me go over the CAVA thing again. You haven't paid CAVA but you know that you have encumbered monies to them. And you've been waiting now until you have certain monies and you can pay the bill. This is kind of what I heard. You know you owe money to CAVA. You haven't paid it. You've been waiting for money, and now ARR money's in, so now you've decided to pay them in two payments. Is that correct?
What happened was the superintendent's council had the CAVA. They said they wanted to wait until it was contingent on ARRA funds coming in. And we spoke with Ruben in terms of looking at if we paid West Covina with ARRA funds, what would that do to the district's maintenance of effort? What would that do to the district's reporting? And it was decided that it would be paid out of state entitlement.
So CAVA's been kind of sitting around until we figure out how we're going to pay the bill. They've been financing you, basically.
I can't answer that. I can only tell you what I've been doing since I came into the position in terms of as the concern has been brought to my attention and we've tried to resolve
it. What is the budget of the SELPA? How much money?
The SELPA has $100 million in their budget.
So, because I have the same concern. Every time I look at it, it's changed, and I'm hearing stories that bills are not getting paid, and I have children out there that need services that if it wasn't for the grace of the districts, they wouldn't be getting them because you're sitting on the money and you're telling me $100 million. I think if you put your budget in here, it would not be $100 million, but it would be more precise than $100 million.
You're right. Yes,
so what is the budget of the SELPA?
I don't have that information in front of me. I would have to bring in the fiscal person to be able to give you that information.
And that person is Jack Lucas, right?
No, or it would be the county, because the county is still the administrative unit and has that information.
When was the last time the books were audited at the SELPA?
I don't know that information.
When was the last time there was a quality control inspection of the monies that were paid for services by the SELPA to the different districts for, say, vision or hearing or others? When was the last time that occurred?
That there was a what? I'm sorry.
A quality control inspection or some sort of, if you want to call it a walkthrough, where we have children that have vision impairment that are going to Azusa. We have children that are have hearing loss that are going to Covina Valley. When was the last time we made an inspection of those programs by the SELPA to make sure that all children are being serviced in a manner that would be acceptable with the monies that are being paid out of SELPA into those programs?
Well, what I can tell you is that since I've started in this position, I have started to make those walkthroughs and visit those programs. I haven't gotten to all of them, but I have gone to probably at least 60 to 70% of the provider programs. That's counting the county program and all of the provider programs. But in terms of more widespread than that, no. We do have the opportunity next year. We're in a special education self-review for all of the districts within the SELPA, and it is an opportunity to do more in-depth look at the program, the quality piece. But that is not a fiscal review. The self-review is basically a program review. It's not a fiscal review.
Well, I can understand that, but I also am, if I pay $10,000 for a Cadillac, that's a fiscal question. When I step behind the Cadillac, I want the engine to start and it to run, and that's a program review. I would hope that it's self taking care of both of them, because the bottom line is I want a child that be able to walk the streets safely that's totally blind that goes to Azusa, and are we going to be able to say that from the SELPA? And if we're sending our children, are you providing help providing that oversight?
Yes.
I keep hearing Pomona's leaving and that's hurting us. Why is hurting the SELPA? Why would one district leaving, if we have this an equitable division among districts as to what their needs are and services, why would one district leaving with their student population cripple the SELPA? Why isn't there an equal distribution that if one leaves, the rest of them are going to get services on an equal basis?
Part of the, when Pomona put in their local plan or their application to become a single district SELPA, that's one of the questions that has to be looked at and the state has to approve. It has to be a distribution of how do the services come out for kids and how does the fiscal piece come out. And when I have looked at the information presented to me, it's a very clean break, actually. In fact, the thought is that the SELPA as a whole will probably do better when Pomona leaves, because right now they are losing the fastest number of kids, and we are taking a decline penalty, a fiscal decline penalty as a SELPA because of their loss. And that's, you know, Ruben and I have had some ongoing conversations about, you know, CAVA is kind of going up in numbers, and some of, you know, maybe you're staying stable in some of your other schools, but we're not getting the growth money because it's a SELPA-wide fiscal distribution, and a lot of that has been pulled down because Pomona, as large as it is, has been losing a significant number of children every year. So we do not anticipate that Pomona leaving is going to have a huge significant impact on the SELPA.
You say you work for the county, right? Is that
yes,
correct?
Sir. Mm-hmm.
And we're contracting through the county for your services.
Yes.
So
yes,
it's a little tenuous because I appreciate your honesty, but I would imagine you would like your county job. We're saying we may not want the county. Where do you end up with that?
Well, I was interesting because this question, sometimes you're at odds with the county office and the superintendent's council, was asked in my interview when I interviewed for the job, and I don't even remember what I answered because I kind of thought, well, I don't know how that's even going to come into play, and boy, has it, and it is, and my boss in the county is aware of it, and the superintendent's council is aware of it, and that... you know, I am a county employee, and I think that there's, I don't want to, but I've been a county employee for 9 months. So I don't have a long-term history with the county, but they are my employer at this time.
The $450,000, that's what we would reimburse the county for the building if we didn't move?
No, the $450,000 is what has come out of, what was it called?
That's what SELPA paid for the building.
We paid for that.
Yeah.
It came out of the SELPA regionalized services budget. Mm-hmm. So if we left that building and they kept it, the SELPA or the AU or whoever it would take on would bill the county and say we need then to get reimbursed for the money we put out you're gonna own this property. You need to buy out our share, basically.
Okay. Well, we wouldn't need to move for that matter.
I'm sorry?
Well, we wouldn't need to move for that matter, would we?
No. I mean, the ultimate hope is that, you know, the county would keep up their past practice of giving away or basically selling for a dollar that property. But I don't have any guarantee of that at this time.
Well, I have to be honest. Maybe the comment is at this point, and I've made the comment before, I think we need to start at base zero and have an audit of the funds that have gone out. I've heard a lot of conversations about, well, we've done right on this, and we've talked with Ruben and back and forth, but I do agree with Mrs. Lace Castillo. When I look at the budget, it changes every time it's in front of me. The bills are not getting paid for whatever reason, and we're making deals to get the bills paid. I don't like that, because eventually that's going to come back on the students. We keep talking about what's going on, but we don't seem to have a clear direction as to what our role is in the SELPA, which I see as deliverance of services to children with disabilities. That is why we exist. We have somewhat gone off on budgets and deals and things, and we talk of that here at the board table, and it makes me uncomfortable. I know on our budget, I can say this money is going to this place for children. And if you want to look at our budget at any time, you may come in and we will sit down and look at it. And we have done that. We've had one from our charter school that said, how many hours was Mr. Frutos going over it? We can't do that with SELPA, and it bothers me. We have deals. We don't know what services we're getting from the county that people are saying, and yet we're paying them close to $1 million a year. And when we say we may not need it, I don't want to be offensive, but we have a county employee saying maybe we don't want to leave them. I think the superintendent's council needs to look at that. I don't make decisions on the school district I'm in. So I think the superintendent's council needs to look at it. I don't want to. It's just the arrangements that we've made. I do agree that we need an RFP as to what the AU is going to be, because we're still making deals about where it's going. I think the superintendent's council does need to go back. I think we need to put out a request for a proposal, what we expect and what districts can deliver it, at what expense, under what kind of parameters, and where it's clearly, once the contract is delivered, the clear expectations of what that's going to take place. And I think we need to make sure that this is done in an expedient manner and to move forward with a SELPA that the parents and children and we as board members feel very confident that it will go forward in terms of that. So.
Once the request for proposal, at least I hope there'll be one that goes out. Who is going to review the RFPs, and then who is going to make the final decision? What's going to be the measurement? Have you talked about that? And then who's going to make the actual decision about who is going to be the AU?
That my understanding is that it would be a superintendent's council decision. It would be a governance council vote, and that's kind of how it's in the local plan.
And they would review the proposals and the rubric or the some type of measurement will be distributed so everyone's aware of how it's going to be measured?
We haven't discussed that. What I could do is at the June 26th meeting, we also have a finance committee that we started this year within the SELPA. Various business officers and program directors from different districts to kind of, I think, add a little bit more transparency into the fiscal process. And that could be the group that reviews them, but we haven't established that. So, you know, I appreciate that input, and what we'll do then is when I go to the June 26th Superintendent's Council, I can bring forward a proposal for all of those pieces.
Okay. What if one district doesn't approve of the changes to the local plan?
What happens then is that the SELPA is required to go through their dispute resolution process to seek agreement. It has to be, that's the part that has to be unanimous. Every board of education has to approve either the change in AU or whatever other changes in order to make that happen.
And if we do go for the change, will there be a change in how the money's distributed? And if there's a district such as ours that is not losing students, we're not declining enrollment, and CAVA, who is actually gaining enrollment, will the money be distributed differently to so they won't be they won't feel the effects of declining enrollment when they're not declining? They still have the students. Will that change?
Well, the way that the AU is set up is that the AU follows the SELPA allocation plan. So in order for that part to change, the SELPA allocation plan has to change. And we do have a finance committee that is looking at that and has met three or four times already this year to discuss that, and we'll be bringing forward a recommendation on our allocation plan. Our last meeting is next week, Wednesday, and we're going to bring forward a recommendation to the superintendents on that allocation plan.
So even if we stay with the county, you're still looking at how the money is going to be distributed.
Yes.
So that may change anyway.
Yes. There's kind of two parts. Number one is the allocation plan, which is, you know, the money that we get in, and you know, right now we're doing a three-year average. It's 80% is based on ADA, 20% is based on pupil count. It's, you know, kind of, and we've looked at and we've kind of talked about doing it in several ways in order to, you know, if you're in decline, is there a 1.5% penalty? So we're looking at, the finance committee is discussing all of those things, and we have representatives from many of the districts. Some are in decline and some are, you know, on the growth path. So we have both voices represented at that meeting. The other part besides the allocation plan is the excess cost billing model. And that's what your district receives for those students you were talking about that are in Covina Valley's Deaf and Hard of Hearing program and the kids in the Azusa program. So you know what cost you have for those students. That excess billing process is cumbersome. It's very dense, and I think that it was set up to really make sure everybody knows what's going on and what's happened. Kind of my read on it coming in new is that it's very difficult, and a lot of districts can't really read through it and figure out, well, how much do I owe and how did I get paid? That's part two of what we're also looking at. No matter who the AU is we need to look at what that excess cost billing process is.
Let me just look quickly to see if I had all of my... That's all I had. Was there any other additional questions?
I know you probably will anyway, but I would like an update on this at the first meeting in July, since our next meeting is before the next SELPA meeting. Our only meeting in July. As to the results.
Okay.
And you're taking the summer to develop the proposal.
Well, as soon as we have something ready, it'll go out. So, I mean, it's not like we're going to wait till summer's over to get it out. I just want to make sure that it's thorough and that any district interested in becoming the AU has a thorough understanding of what the job entails. I don't want somebody to come back to me a year from now and say, you didn't tell me that I had to do this or that or the other thing. We want to make sure that it includes all the portions of it. And I think that's kind of the piece of finding out what all those portions are. It's not necessarily monetary portions, but it's job-related of what actually the job entails.
And then in November, the districts would have to vote on or before November. You have to give notice to the county by November, correct?
November or December, yes. We need to let them know if we're moving forward, we don't need to do anything else. If we want to rescind the notice, we need to let them know November. They said the latest would be December. is to let them know on any type of a rescission of that. So, yeah, I have to work backwards from that timeline to say my goal would be that the superintendent's council at the meeting in September would be looking at that RFP and making a decision so that in October, that gives me between September and October to get a local plan committee together to rewrite the local plan with all of the input, and the CAC gets 30 days to review that, plus we want to make sure everybody gets, you know, kind of an opportunity to look at that. So that's kind of the tight timeline we're going to be under.
Very tight.
Yes.
And boards of education would see all of that when?
Well, ultimately, the board of education, the boards of education would have to approve the change in the local plan.
And December? January?
Yes. It would have to be December, January, because we would like to submit the change in the local plan with all of the signatures to CDE by February. Because
they have to have it by February by law.
Because for them to make sure to, you know, change directions in terms of the funding. Yes, so that's kind of our time.
So if any of the boards, how many districts are in RSLPA?
Well, there's 11 districts, but then we also have
the charters. So if 1, 2, 3, if any of the boards of education have issues about it, what happens?
We would have to go into the dispute resolution process.
Which takes how long?
I know, but then
it can be 30 days. I guess my goal would be that at the superintendent's council meeting in June is to probably have a frank and similar discussion to what we've had here tonight to be able to let them know that if their board has any concerns, you know, maybe that's the conversation. I can go to these board meetings during the summer, or, you know, I don't want to surprise anybody. And that at a school board in January at the 9th hour, 11th hour says, wait a second, we don't know anything about this, and we're going to put the brakes on.
So when we started discussing this around February, when we brought the agreements forward to the boards to continue while we were discussing this, I recall making sure that I asked about, can we have the information before we notify LACO? Can we have the information? And I remember the county superintendent coming in and giving some information. I remember Jack Lukes coming in giving information. And the information has somewhat not been the same based on who the messenger has been. And so I have been very concerned about trying to get what is the administrative unit's budget. Not just, we see what other districts' budgets are and how we do that, but when we came up with the stimulus package as the way to pay CAVA, no other alternative was put on the table, not a balance from from the SELPA or no other thing. And so we continuously have a hard time in answering the questions, only because we're getting bits and pieces instead of the entire picture at once to make a decision. And so, you know, I'm grateful that you're here, because I've had a hard time explaining these things without having all of the answers. And as you've stated tonight, there's yet a lot of work to be done and things to be put on the table before we can do that. So thank you, Sarah.
And I'm going to take a crash course in finance, because that's not, that's not my background. I have been spending a lot of time learning it and working on the state SELPA finance committee and doing that piece. But I think it's for no other reason, whether or not the AU is being looked at or not, it's always good when there's change to go back and look at what's been done and if it's continuing to be effective or not, and make decisions from there.
Thank you.
Jessica had one more question.
I'm a bit confused, because we won't see the local area plan until January, which is a month after the deadline to rescind our cancellation of the contract with LACO. I mean, how will that affect us if, you know, we have more than, let's say, West Covina say no, a couple other districts say no? That would make the process for arbitration a little bit more difficult. And what happens if the districts who say no, basically, the resolution is we agree with them. This isn't going to work. It isn't in their best interest. Where are we at then?
I don't know. I'll have to go back and look at my timeline and my calendar to figure that piece out. But, I appreciate that in terms of trying to do all the pieces that need to be put in place with the, you know, I guess my understanding as the Superintendent's Council making a governance decision was that it had been already discussed with school boards. And I'm finding that may or may not necessarily be the case. So I think I need to go back and make sure that piece is in place before we move forward.
Which, once again, isn't very reassuring when a local area plan won't be to us until after a deadline to withdraw our rescission.
The plan, the only change in the plan is basically would be the name of the administrative unit. The local agreement, which is the actual fiscal piece of how much you're going to charge us, you know, $440,000, and it's going to be for this, kind of the contract piece of it, mm-hmm. isn't under that same timeline. That the local plan is more of the program timeline.
But the local plan includes who our administrative unit is.
And right, yes.
If a Board of Education does not agree to that change, the local area plan does not pass through
Correct.
The Board of Education that it needs to go into effect. So once again, you're back to the fact that you're a month past the rescission, and we won't have an administrative unit. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you. Our students are outside. Yes. Would you like us to go get them?
Yes.
And Cammie, we just give them the stack and they can. Late to hand that out.
No.
Oh, they can do it anywhere?
I'll let them do it at the end.
Yeah, in the further public communication.
Yes.
We don't have a
public. No, but we have a
but I can do.
We have a board discussion, but we don't have
I
a
think that my discretion.
Yeah.
And I
do it. Board president's discretion.
Someone want to talk?
Well.
Yes.
What you want to talk about, but we don't.
Oh, this is the one where we canceled the gate.
And I know a board president that has insisted it not take place. Well, that's not BS.
First of all, I want to thank all of the students that were waiting. I really appreciate how quiet you were, and that they were. You guys had to wait a long time, mm-hmm. and it shows how much respect you all have and how much self-restraint you have to wait that long out in a room with no entertainment. So thank you so much. I bet it was worse than waiting in the doctor's office. There wasn't as much to do. So thank you so much, and I'm going to applaud all of you guys for waiting so nicely. And that was even before we're telling you how excited we are about you winning the pentathlon. That is awesome, and you can tell the quality and caliber of students that won that really highlights the district in a wonderful light, and it was all of you. And you sitting out there, I realized that not only when you were out there doing the in the community showing your expertise, when you came in here and you had to wait, once again you showed how those wonderful qualities of what shines about all of you. Each and every one of you are a winner, and we appreciate all of you being in our district. Lily's going to tell us who your coaches are. And
Okay. I'd like to start, first of all, thanking you also, and I want to bring forward your principal, Mr. Mark Travatori. Will you come forward to the microphone? I'd also like to call forward your head coach, Craig Michael. Would you join Mr. Travatori? Is Brooks Atherton here? Thank you. Is Ms. Roseanne Crawford here? Ms. Elizabeth Tran, please come forward. Yumi Nakatani. Tiffany Brumbaugh. Okay, or Helen Jewell. Okay. Basically, what we wanted to do, because so many of you participated and so many of you had such a good placing on in terms of the awards that you all won, Mr. Trovatore, why don't you tell us how many exactly we won?
110 awards.
So, I mean, that is fantastic, and I'm sure that Mr. Travatori will say, first of all, thank you to the parents and the students who work so hard, but also I know from experience that the coaches also have to go above and beyond to help you, and so I think they deserve a round of applause, don't you? Is it Adelaide Tran? Is she here? Can she come forward? She won first place in social science, is that correct?
Good subject.
She won first place overall.
Overall. Oh. Okay, Mr. Michael, will you come forward and talk some more about the different things that they won? Do you have that?
How much detail did you want?
Whatever you want.
Okay, good. Well, some of them aren't here today, but I'm just going to go through the list.
Okay.
Shelby Anderson, a seventh grader, won third place in science and fourth place in math. Wow. Sandra Cardenas also can't be here. Is that correct? Sandra won sixth place in science. Jeremy Castillo's here. Stand up, Jeremy. Fourth place in literature, fifth place in science. Loretta Guerra is here. Stand up, please. She won fourth place in essay and fourth place in math. Isabel Wynn. Isabel won fourth place in math, fourth in history, sixth in literature, and fifth place overall for seventh
wow.
grade.
Wow. Good.
Caitlin Rivera.
This is all those.
Caitlin won fourth place in science, sixth place in literature. Ramiro Salazar. Ramiro won third place in literature. Aaron. Say it again. Yes. Stand up, Aaron. Second place in science. And Alexandra Troncoso. Won second place in math, and then the whole seventh grade team won second place on the science super quiz, which is the public
Yay.
Part of
wow.
the event.
Good job.
And fourth place overall. And I'd like to have, if I would, if I could, Mr. Atherton
yeah.
do the same thing for the eighth grade.
Of course.
So for eighth grade, for fourth place in math, we had Kayla Abney. Kayla's not able to be with us today, unfortunately. First place in essay, fourth place in literature, Cordesia Carter. For he's not here today, but second place in literature was Obed Kausor. I don't know how to say it. Kausor. For third place in essay, fourth place in science was Teresa Dow. Teresa. For first place in essay and fourth in math, she wasn't able to be here, but Evelyn Garcia. Third place essay, fourth place science, fifth place math. Brandy Huerta, is she here today? She's not here today. We had sixth grade math. Sixth place in math. Excuse me, I'm so used to seeing sixth and saying grade after that. Sixth place in math was Adrian Kim, who's also, I don't think, here today. This man is here today. Fifth place in literature, fifth place in math, and sixth place in science, Andrew Law. And this young lady is here today, third place in essay and fourth place in literature, Yenny Lang. This is a long one. We've got first place in literature, first place in math, fifth place in social science, and fifth overall individual, Michelle Nguyen. And then fourth place in essay, sixth place in science, Tiffany Nguyen. First place essay, second place social science, third place literature, third place science, and third overall individual, Benjamin Sue. Second place math, fifth social science, fifth science, and sixth overall individual, Amber Tang, who I don't think is here. And then we already recognized Adelaide for the first place social science, second place literature, second place science, fifth place math, and first overall individual. But let's recognize her again. Adelaide. And then we have fourth place math and sixth place literature, PSI. And the other students that, these students in terms of teams, we had, let me make sure I get this right. So we have third and fifth for their super quiz, right?
Fifth and sixth for super quiz.
Okay, this is overall. Yeah. So we have for both teams, we had two eighth grade teams. One team got fifth place and the other sixth for the super quiz. And then overall, our teams had third place and fifth place overall for the team.
And this is all for the Orange County Academic Pentathlon, which is not an easy pentathlon to compete in. So you have all done a fantastic job. We are going to give you certificates to take with you to hand out. But please thank your fellow teachers, your students. I know that your assistant principal is here, your counselor's here, and we are very, very proud of each and every one of you. Thank you very much for coming here. Anybody want to give a speech or answer a question?
A boy.
No? What was the hardest question that was asked? Good answer. This one. Good answer. Anything else?
We have one student here that I want to make sure. I want all of us to be recognized, so if we could all stand up.
Yay.
Does everyone stand up?
Thank you all very much. Okay, get a good night's rest and come to school early tomorrow. All right? Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you. All right, come forward.
She's kidding.
She is now.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Mark. Is there any further Board of Education discussion?
Yes.
Mr. Fuller.
I'm a little concerned. I'm getting feedback. All sorts of little sales are taking place at different places, including tickets to graduation at the high school and luau's and things. Could the superintendent kind of report what's going on and which functions we're developing and what we're charging for and why we're charging parents to attend their children's graduation?
We will have an informative report. Mr. Gautreau and his staff will be here to review what the past practices and present and current practices are, and I welcome the Board of Education's opinion, feedback, and the creation of new policies to establish some guidelines for our schools.
Thank you.
Yes, Mike.
If I could ask a question, and that was, at our last board meeting, we talked about the stimulus money and the possibility of using the stimulus money to restore some of the cuts that were made. It's my understanding that the stimulus money still has not arrived and may never arrive. Is that what you're hearing? Or?
That's correct. Is that correct, Mr. Frutos?
We've received some of the stimulus money already.
No, just the nutritional stuff, right? Or what?
Some of the general fund has begun to arrive. What the superintendent informed us last time is that it'll be paid over several periods, and we've received some of it. Now they're projecting that the second payment might be delayed. It was supposed to arrive in August, and now they're saying it might be September or October. But quite frankly, every few days the budget changes a little bit, so we're just going to wait.
So after the propositions failed, we have been noticed that the state of California is going to try to negotiate some of the federal money that's coming to the state of California so that they can help balance the budget in California. So right now we have not been assured of how much money will be coming to our district.
And
but we won't have to make cuts, right?
I said if nothing changed.
So
that may affect CAVA then. We just heard that CAVA was going to be paid out of that money.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so does that mean there's a chance they won't be paid?
We believe that the superintendent's council was short-sighted in saying that this payment for past bills is due on money that may or may not come from the federal budget. And Ruben and I have argued that, regardless, this is money that's owed to CAVA. And so if it turns out that they don't get as much stimulus money as they thought they were going to get, or there's a maintenance of effort issue around it, they will have to find other sources because these are real bills that, need to be paid.
Right.
Okay. So we'll give you an update in when we come back in July to talk to you about where we are with the SELPA.
Okay. I hope CAVA, gets its money. We have one request for to speak, and that's Pauline Union. Would you like to come to the board? I'm up to the mic.
Hello. I spoke last month, and today I have more parents who would like to have me address their concern. So I'd like to use my time to read some of the comments that I got from some of the parents. I have one parent who wrote, "We want the GATE program back for our kids because they really enjoy being on the program during the summer." Another parent wrote, "Can the budget be looked at to find a way to continue to fund the GATE summer school program? It's unfortunate that our GATE students that wish to succeed as adults have to suffer the setbacks of our district decisions. Program cuts are going to make children lose interest in school. I am not happy for the cuts in the summer school program. I am not happy with the summer school to be discontinued." Just as you were commenting on how our students are quiet, a lot of the parents are quiet about it too, but I've been speaking to the parents to let them know that they need to voice that if they're not happy about the budget cuts or the programs, that they need to be heard, because if we don't say anything about it, then our programs are going to be pushed aside, because the board is going to think that we have parents who aren't interested in these programs. We are interested, it's just we tend to be a bit more quiet than other parents, but I will try to continue to keep coming to the meetings to let you know that the programs are very important for our children, for the success, as we've seen in Pentathlon. If we don't continue to support the school and the teachers and the students, then we won't see this kind of success in the future. And I have other children coming into the school district, and they'll be coming into Edgewood in future years. And I want to make sure that the programs are available so that we can continue to see success in pentathlon and in the test scores that everyone keeps talking about, and good grades for the students. And these programs do make a difference. The GATE students, they are special needs students, and without these programs, they won't succeed, just like all other children who need individual programs.
Did you say that was comments from other people?
Yes.
Okay, maybe if you could pass those on just so we're aware of.
Some parents were shy and they didn't write their names. Others did, but they weren't able to speak on for themselves, so I spoke on their behalf.
Okay. It's just always nice to have a record of the people who are interested in. So if we find out anything, we could contact them.
Yeah, because I think the main concern was that this year we weren't notified that there wasn't going to be GATE summer school. So a lot of parents still aren't aware that it was cut.
I understand. There's no other business that coming before the board. There's a number of activities coming up at the end of the this week. And the next, if you're interested in all the graduations, they're listed in the packet of the board agenda. And June 23rd will be our next Board of Education meeting. We are adjourned at 8:15.